Welcome to First Formation, spiritual exercise for Christian soldiers looking to get the fuck up and pray. Join Pew Pew HQ every weekday morning to hear the good news through grunts and with grunts, in the unity of the Holy Spirit as one church, forever and ever. Fall in. Psalm 32. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away, through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 30 through 40. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who steal my words from one another. Behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who use their tongues and declares the Lord. Behold, I am against those who prophesy lying dreams, declares the Lord, and who tell them and lead my people astray by their lies and their recklessness, when I did not send them or charge them. So they do not profit this people at all, declares the Lord. When one of his people, or a prophet or a priest, asks you, what is the burden of the Lord? You shall say to them, you are the burden, and I will cast you off, declares the Lord. And as for the prophet, priest, or one of the people who says, the burden of the Lord, I will punish that man and his household. Thus shall you say, every one to his neighbor and every one to his brother, what has the Lord answered, or what has the Lord spoken? But the burden of the Lord you shall mention no more, for the burden is every man's own word, and you pervert the words of the living God, the Lord of hosts, our God. Thus you shall say to the prophet, what has the Lord answered to you? Or what has the Lord spoken? But if you say, the burden of the Lord, thus says the Lord, because you have said these words, the burden of the Lord, when I sent you, saying, you shall not say the burden of the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will surely lift you up and cast you away from my presence, you and the city that I gave to you, and to your fathers. And I will bring upon you everlasting reproach and perpetual shame, which shall not be forgotten. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming, and now is in the world ready, already. Little children, you are from God, and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Good morning and welcome to the 11th Monday after Pentecost. This is Brother Logan Isaac broadcasting from Laguna Niguel, California. This morning's readings come to us from Psalm 32, Jeremiah 23, and 1 John 4. And this is kind of how the reading kind of confirms to me to complete this liturgical year through November or something, and then just kind of let it rest for a little bit. That's because Psalm 32, one of the verses, verse 3, I specifically remember reading it at the Abbey in Knoxville, Maryland, and it would have been my first year. Verse 3, "For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long." And I checked on Vanderbilt's website, and it's the only date that in all 3 years of the cycle that Psalm 32 is used in this place. And yeah, the memory is so clear in my mind. "For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long." And it would have been 2017? Yeah, I think so. 2018, yeah. So we would have just moved into the, we would have just bought the Abbey. I don't know if we lived there yet. But I remember reading it. And it was like another text that I remember from John Milton's Paradise Lost and the angel Abdiel. And it just feels like God is kind of like putting it in my life to kind of give shape and form to what I feel. And at the time, it must have been 2018. August of 2018, so yeah, we had just closed on the house. We were living in Baltimore, but I was commuting to kind of fix up the house. And we had just left North Carolina. And North Carolina was kind of a shitty experience toward the end. Not just some of the shit that I experienced, but also like, yeah, I won't go into details. And even to this day, I think about whether I should keep talking about what happened there and the repercussions, not just but like its significance for other soldiers and veterans. But when I keep silent, my bones feel like they're wasting away. And I groan all day long. Some people can put things in the past and just forget them. And that I guess that's great for them. I have clearly some subconscious objections to that, but also some fully conscious objections to it. I don't think that's what the Bible calls us to. Just kind of let bygones be bygones and you kind of shrug your shoulders and be like, well, you know. I've heard a lot of really good rationale from people that are really smart, productive types, like, well, if you want to do this, you have to kind of let the pain of the past go. And I don't know. I cannot bring myself to agree with that kind of sentiment. The Israelites were constantly being told to remember the worst parts of their own history. Also the best parts, but like memory. I think, and our actual experiences shape who we are, right? So don't go into the future blind, not knowing why you are the way you are, and, you know, forgetting what you've learned about the world. I remember it was in combat where I learned precisely how petty and dangerous people can be. And not like enemies, I mean like other soldiers who I was supposed to be able to trust. And but given a little bit of power and a little opportunity, a lot of people did some fucked up shit. And that's not okay. And I sometimes find myself wondering, I don't know, I question whether or not I should just stay, you know, shut the fuck up and drive on, or, you know, kind of keep my head down, as one vet told me. Keep my head down because what they don't know can't hurt me. The day before yesterday, right? Yeah, it was Saturday. One of our neighbors, a man and woman, two children, and the woman's pregnant. I heard my neighbor, the man, shouting. I mean, he probably could have shouted louder, but like, he was at the top of his lungs, right? Like, and he was calling her a fucking bitch, a fucking cunt. As soon as she gave birth, she needs to get out. And at some point, he started talking about how she was packing her bags or like a bunch of shit. And I'm sitting out on our patio, and I've got two children who happen to be girls and inside, and I can hear him clear as day. And I know that I don't want to be explaining what bitch and cunt mean, you know, if I'm kind of a selfish little twat, like only concerned about me and my people. But on a certain level, I was also nervous about the woman in there. She was pregnant, so she had, you know, kind of an inhibited physical, you know, abilities. And then there's two children who I later confirmed were in there at the time. And it began about like the guy being unhappy about an apology he was supposed to give to his sister. And the guy, the dad, I suppose, was not happy about that. Is clearly verbal abuse. It's kind of a gray area in domestic violence and et cetera. But I know that the FBI does categorize verbal abuse as abuse because I have a buddy who was verbally abused and emotionally manipulated and abused by his female partner. And I thought, you know, I'll just call 911 quietly. Because, like, I don't know if it's going to keep escalating. It's the worst I'd heard. And he's yelled before, and he's told his kids he's going to spank them. And, like, that, yeah. I mean, I get upset as a dad, too. But he's, you know, it just kept escalating. And he was shouting at this woman to her face in front of their kids. Or kid, I don't know if they're theirs or not. I have no idea. And I thought, like, something's got to change. And I thought, well, I'll call 911 quietly. And that just felt like the wrong thing to do. Like, if I lost my shit, I'd like to think somebody could be man enough or human enough to come have a conversation with me instead of, like, hiding behind anonymity. And so I knocked on his door. And he didn't like that. But instead of calling me a bitch or a cunt, he called me a clown and a goon, which, I don't know. Laura pointed out, like, oh, it seems like he has more respect for me than he does his partner. And it wasn't necessary. I didn't have to go knock on that door. I could have just ignored it. I could have closed our door. But that just seemed so wrong. Even calling 911 anonymously felt like not cowardly, but also not brave. And he didn't like it. And I said, well, you know, if you can't talk to me about it, then I got to talk to the police about it. And he thought that was a threat. I called him. No idea if they came. But ever since, I've been wondering, like, did I need to say anything? Could I have just let that slip under the rug? You know, just let bygones be bygones? And the answer is yes, of course I could. The answer is, like, yeah, I can keep silent. I can waste away and just groan quietly all day long. And then, of course, Laura and I were both kind of nervous, like maybe he has a gun. Now he doesn't like this because, you know, I closed the blinds at our place. I locked both the doors. Like, I don't know. I don't know what the fuck goes on in people's heads. It would have been easier to stay quiet. But it didn't feel like the right thing to do. And, I don't know, call it an obsession, call it a compulsion, call it an addiction, but, like, I don't want to be that person who could do something and does nothing. Even if that something might put me in danger, you know, that's not the worst that can happen. The worst that can happen is that I become the kind of person that stays silent. I think I become the kind of person who only acts when it's in their own interests. Like, I told him, like, I just don't want to have to explain to my kids what bitch and cunt mean. And that was enough for him. He said that what he's doing this in the privacy of his own home. And I said, well, I can hear you in the privacy of my own home. And so that the argument that I presented to him was vaguely selfish. But I also know, like, I also don't want, I don't know what goes on behind closed doors and whether or not any abuse other than just verbal abuse goes on. But that's not my power. But I know that if something happens to the kids or the woman involved and I had stayed silent, that would have been as bad as, like, combat. and I'd rather my bones groan for injustice than my heart breaks for the things I could have done and didn't do. I mean, we pray this not every Sunday, but the prayer of, I don't know, the absolution or something like that, where it's like, forgive us the things that we have done and the things we have failed to do. Like that, I'm aware of that, and I won't be silent. There are some things that remaining silent breaks, violates. I still feel like I'm groaning every day. There's injustice that I experience, and I have no reason to think that other veterans won't experience it on a daily basis until there's some change in the conversation. And so I can't keep silent. I remember reading that line not long after we had bought the place in Knoxville, this old converted church into a home. And I just, it hit me like, yeah, that's how I feel. When I keep silent, my bones waste away through, you know, groaning all day long. But the Lord's hand is upon me, and I may never see satisfaction in my life, but I'll die knowing that I tried to be a good person, regardless of the consequences and the risks, that to do and to be good was more important than me just feeling good. A prayer for the poor and neglected from the Book of Common Prayer. Almighty and most merciful God, we remember before you all poor and neglected persons whom it would be easy for us to forget. The homeless and the destitute, the old and the sick, and all who have none to care for them. Help us to heal those who are broken in body or spirit, and to turn their sorrow into joy. Grant this, Father, for the love of your Son, who for our sake became poor, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you for falling into First Formation, where PewPewHQ shares morning prayers for the humble, hardy folk caught in the crosshairs of God and country. If you like what you've heard, you can participate in one of the three following ways. First, you can support the podcast at patreon.com/pewpewhq. You can contribute as little as a dollar a month, and you can cancel at any time if I ever piss you off. Second, you can become a co-host by recording a lectionary reading for a future episode. Instructions will be provided, and you don't have to be a grunt to collaborate with PewPewHQ in this or any way. Finally, you can also record and send prayer requests of a minute or less. Prayers can be included in an episode, read anonymously if you wish, or kept private for me to pray for off-air. So there you have it, three ways to participate in First Formation. I hope you'll continue to listen, even if I can't convince you to jump in. This has been Brother Logan Isaac, always faithful, always family. Semper Familia.